I'm ready to take notes.
Are you?
I am.
Good, because we're here recording for you.
Awesome.
You know tonight's topic, which is.
How to teach someone how to play pickleball?
Yeah, that's tonight's topic. How to teach a new person how to play pickleball.
Ta-da!
Which might be very boring to some other people listening, but I think the way we started to teach people a long time ago was ahead of the game even back then.
I do too.
Do you now? When I first started teaching beginners, which was 6 years ago, oh gosh, we're coming up on 7 in February.
Wow.
I did not know that it wasn't just tennis. We all just stood back at the baseline and just whack, whack,
I
whack, whack.
know. Oh.
And then I went to Seattle. We've talked about this before. I played pickleball with people that knew what they were doing and were hitting third shot drops and coming to the net and dinking. And I was like, you know what? This is brilliant way to teach beginners. And I don't mean serving, returning, dropping, dinking. I mean start them at the net and then move them backwards. So here is our patent pending process for how to teach a new person to play pickleball. A new person sounds weird, like a baby. How to teach a person who is new to pickleball
There you go.
how to play. We start them at the non-volley zone, which is the kitchen line. We just get them used to the feel of the paddle and the feel of the ball. And there's actually some really important psychological, physiological reasons for it. First and foremost, I do think it gets them in the mindset quicker or earlier of not taking full swings. Because what happens is a lot of people will get up there to the kitchen, they'll just whack the ball and it flies over the partners on the other side of the net, right by the kitchen zone line, kitchen on volley zone line. And I'm like, no. Like, you barely have to move your paddle. And it gets them used to the touch, right? I don't expect my newbies to be dropping and getting into big dink rallies. I do want them to get used to the feel of the ball before a game starts. So that's what we do. We just get them dinking straight. I don't worry about cross court, man. Those balls go everywhere. We tried that once. But I just get them dinking straight. After they've dinked for probably 5 or 6 minutes, and you can see that they've got much more control over it. And look, they're still beginners, right? I'm not expecting perfection, but much more control over it. I then go and start to teach them the game. So I do start with the non-volley zone. I tell them what it is. I tell them why I want them to dink there. In terms of swing and getting used to the ball, but I also teach them what the non-volley zone is, like when you can and can't cross that line, which they learn early. That's one of the first things we teach them, because to me, that was one of the hardest things to remember to learn. Like, it's just sometimes it's a brick wall and sometimes it's not there, right? And just getting used to that is important. So after that, then we move them back to the service line. We begin to teach them gameplay, starting with the most important shot, and I'll defend that statement by saying this. It's the one shot that is in every single rally. There are no rallies without serves, but there are rallies without every other shot.
True.
So we want them to learn the serve. I teach both a traditional serve, underhanded serve, and I teach the new drop serve. And I find that some people can do one better than the other, and it helps to have both. So we have them, when I teach them to serve, this is so funny because this always happens. I have people on both ends of the court. I say, serve it. And I tell the other person, catch it and serve it back.
Yep, and you tell them every time.
And what do?
They hit
They hit it back. They just want to play. And I love that about the beginners, but I'm like, catch the freaking ball and hit it back. I'm nice to them, but I want them to learn to serve.
Yes.
So I get them in a rhythm of serving. And then I flip them sides and make them serve from the other side of the court. And they're like, wait a minute, will you serve from the other side of the court too? Which is great. So we get them serving from both sides of the court, get them used to it. After they're getting most of their serves in, or certainly understand the mechanics of getting a serve in, then we teach them the second shot. So now I still have a group working on the serve on one side of the court, and on the other side of the court, they're working on a return, which we teach them to hit deep.
Exactly.
Here's some of the language I use on teaching the serve. I say, look, most of you are trying to hit the ball way up in the air, way over, and trying to like drop it into that rectangle back there.
Right.
I go, this court is 44 feet long. 22 feet are on your side and 7 more on their side that you got to clear. So 29 feet you have to go in the forward direction or parallel to the ground or horizontal, whatever you want to call it. And the net's only 34 to 36 inches high, depending on where you're at on that net. So you have to hit it 3 feet high, but you got to hit it 29 feet forward.
Yep.
So quit hitting it high.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, that makes total sense. And then they start hitting them lower and lower and lower.
Yeah, I think they look at the court and it seems small.
Right.
And so they're just trying
daunting.
Really hard.
I have to hit that ball into that rectangle back there.
Yep.
No, just hit it. Just hit diagonally across the net 4 feet high and you're going to be just fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we teach them that. Then when we teach them the return, we teach them that we want to have it in sort of that 5, 6 feet, 7 feet in from the back line at the most, right? So now you're hitting it not just 29 feet, but, you know, another 8 feet. So 37 feet on the return. 37, 38, 39, whatever, anywhere between 37 and 44. We want it bouncing in the back part of the court. And then I teach my slower folks, hit that one higher. Well, why? Well, they have to let it bounce. And this is where they learn that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They have to let that second shot bounce. And when they let that second shot bounce, if you've hit it higher, you know, you're learning. It gets you time to understand how to move around the court a bit and to work yourself toward that non-volley zone.
Yep.
Okay. So now they've learned the serve. They've learned that they have to serve from both sides. They've learned to return it deep because it gives them more time to get on their way to the kitchen. I don't tell them they need to get all the way to the kitchen because that would be stupid. We start teaching them mechanics at this point in time in terms of movement. So if they've hit that second shot, we teach them, work your way toward the kitchen. But as soon as you see the other player on the other side swinging, you need to be stopped. Split step, if you know if we're talking about here as a tennis player otherwise.
Yep.
But just stopped on the balls of your feet, ready to move sideways, forward, wherever you need to go. We don't want them still running when the other team is hitting.
Exactly.
Right. Because
then they'll probably hit it out.
Yeah, and I don't care that they're beginners. Like, we teach this stuff first week. But, Sky, we're only 15 or 20 minutes in here, and they're now ready to play a game.
Right.
I teach them one more thing. Third shot. And we teach them a third shot drop. Now, we know that third shot drives are very common, but these are newbies, and they need to learn how to hit that drop shot at some point, whether it's a reset on the 19th shot or whether it's a fifth shot drop or seventh shot drop. We don't care, but they do need to learn how to hit that shot. Almost all of them understand what whacking the ball is like,
yes.
driving it. And we've learned that there's a lot more to that process of teaching them that than there is in the process of teaching them just hit this little like semi-lob shot that drops into the kitchen. A push. Here's how we're in Indiana. So
yes.
Here's how we always say it. I go, y'all played cornhole.
You don't say it like that.
Y'all play cornhole around here.
Unless you're teasing us.
And yeah. Then they go, yeah, we play cornhole.
You're from Kansas.
Yeah, we don't play cornhole there. Well, we do now, but.
I was going to say,
not
what?
Not when I grew up. So I go, y'all play cornhole? They go, yeah. I go, look, it's the same shot. And they go, what? And I go, watch this. I'm on my feet. I step forward with my left foot or my opposite foot of my whatever hand I'm swinging with, and I swing my underarm hand like this, and it's just like I'm tossing that beanbag right over there into the kitchen. They're always like, oh, I got that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's very easy for them.
Yep.
And then the three or four that go, I don't ever play cornhole. I go, you ever gone bowling? Same. You ever played volleyball and you learned how to serve in junior high? Same. Like, everyone's done something like that motion, right?
Exactly.
Softball pitching. I mean, there's just so many different things that mimic that movement. So
how many people do you think you've taught?
I always say that we have, how do I phrase it? Literally over 1,000 people.
In less than 7 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know, but I'm going to back off of it for a minute, and I'm saying this publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know how many. We have 1,100 plus waivers signed at our church.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm like, have there been 100 that weren't new? Because we have everyone sign a waiver. You know, so Joe Drown comes and plays. He's played before. Hannah Carpenter comes and plays. She's played before. You know, I think about all those people that,
yep.
You know, that have come through over the years, Christy and Kevin Pasman, and there's a lot of them.
But then there are people that stop you, even at League two nights ago. They'll stop you and they'll say, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. I get a lot of that, and it's fun. I love the coaching aspect of it. But I know I say literally 1,000 people, but it may not be. Maybe it's 900, to 900 to 900 to 1,050
somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah. I know we don't have waivers on everybody either, but it's a lot of people.
And you obviously have taught people through Community Emotion.
Yeah. And that, also done that.
Yep.
Some of those have been at the same facility. I mean, I've taught people in a lot of different states too. I've taught people in Colorado. I've taught people in Kansas. Taught people in Missouri. Taught people in
Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely. Just did that last week. Yep. So done that before too. There. So anyway, yeah, I've taught a lot of people how to play pickleball. It's probably around 1,000.
So the reason I ask this question is so that people understand that you have a proven system. Whether you,
I mean, if all 1,000 were still playing, that'd be awesome. But some people just drop out. Oh no, a heck ton are still playing. Absolutely.
A lot of them are. Yeah. I mean, I hear it all the time. I'm around town and I'll be like, are you Kevin's wife? And I'll be like, yep. And they're like, he taught me how to play pickleball. And I'll be like, okay.
Well. It's so funny because 7 years ago I was known as Mr. Sky Huff.
I know. And, because of the coffee business.
Yeah.
So Mr. Let me Coffee. Repeat, if you don't mind, I'm going to repeat what I've,
yeah,
I
do
think
it.
I heard. So when we first start teaching and we start them at the net.
Yeah.
We explain the non-volley zone.
Yep.
And we want them to feel the, you know, get used to the paddle and feel the ball.
Yep.
They start dinking straight, usually for 5 to 6 minutes, yeah, because dinking to an angle is, it can be tricky, and there's a lot of ball chasing if that is happening.
Well, with nibbies, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they're picking it up quickly, we can always try it. Start teaching them the game after that. So,
well, the reason it's, just so we know, the reason is because at the net, it's, it's such a short swing.
Yes.
Just a couple inches.
And so you start teaching them at the game. Yeah, you start teaching the game after that. So, and explain to them what the non-volley zone is.
Yep.
And it's nice to start them at the net because, like you said, they're not going to sit there and smash and crash and slam the ball as if they're trying to play tennis, or racquetball for that matter. They're going to try to learn how to play pickleball instead.
Right. And I say to them things along the way. I encourage them. I go, look, you're here to learn. I'm sure that most of you want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're not here to just always be a beginner. So we are very much a stickler about the rules. We make sure they understand the rules all along the way. And if they miss their serve, well, we're not to that part yet. You keep covering, keep going through your list, and I'll step back in when we're ready.
So then you take them to the service line.
Yep.
And teach them how to serve. You teach them the traditional way, and then now the new drop serve.
Yeah.
And then you have them work from both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and then once you get two people on one side of the net, then they can practice serving back and forth to each other. After that happens for a while, then you start teaching them how to return the ball, and you explain to them that, you know, how big the court is, how high the net is, and yeah, they don't have to hit it high.
Nope.
Mostly because
you got to hit it out, not up.
Yes, because then you want them to actually start thinking about strategy.
Yeah.
Now, if they are returning the second hit, you can.
Service return.
You can hit it higher because.
Yeah, sure. That's the one shot you can have a lot of fun and freedom with, because you can put a lot of pressure on them, but they have to what?
Yeah, they have to let it bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you teach them how to work their way from the back line to the kitchen line.
Yep.
And you wanted to make sure that they understand that once they've hit the ball over the net and they can work their way toward the net, but if as soon as they see their opponent swinging, they should stop and get ready to return.
They should get ready to move to the ball.
Move to the ball. Yeah. That's a good point. And then, of course, you left off with teaching them the third shot drop.
Yep.
And that's when you use the analogy of cornhole or bowling.
Yep, exactly. Cornhole, bowling, or any of the other ones, softball, volleyball, you name it. Yeah, we also are a stickler for the rules.
Yes.
So we're at the point now where we're ready to start a game. After they've practiced a few third shot drops, I go, you've got the first three hits down. We're probably not going to get past that on too many rallies. Let's get started.
Right.
They just look at me like I'm weird, but it's true.
Right.
And I go, let's play a game. So we get them going. Now, the one thing I do not teach them during all of this is the scoring.
I teach the
scoring while they're playing, and it's fun to watch them figure it out. I help them. I answer any questions they have. I tell them about it. But I go, look, the game starts at a really weird score. It's 0-0. We can all agree with that, right? But there's this third number that has to do with which server you are. This time you have the ball. I go, and that's the third number. And so I'm just going to say that third number for a while until we all get used to it. I go, so the score is 0-0-2. Now, I've set the score, but I'm not playing. I tell them, you have to say the score.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying the score to notify the other team. Here comes the serve. And they
exactly.
go, oh, okay. Then they say the score. And they go, what is it again? And I go, it's three numbers. Like, we can all remember that. 0-0-2.
Some of us are better at remembering than others. I'm just going to say that out loud now.
So they go 0-0-2. They whack the ball. If it's in, great. The next ball comes back. I'm yelling, let it bounce, because almost always
they want to hit
it. They want to try and get to it.
They're so
there.
Excited.
I sometimes stand behind them and hold their shirts to keep them from going forward. Literally have done that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that.
Ask Bethany. Well, you saw me how I coached Bethany this summer. She kept coming back from the kitchen line when she shouldn't, so I stood behind her so she couldn't come backwards.
Oh, I did see you.
Kept pushing her back towards the kitchen line. I'm like, stop it,
girl. It did help, I'm sure.
Yeah, she said a couple weeks later, she was like, I can feel you back there when you're not even there. And I was like, perfect. That's the point. All right, so.
Too cute.
So they're now in a game mode. And this is where I teach them that when you score, you switch sides.
Right.
And this is where I teach them how to keep track of ones and twos. And we go ahead and tell them from the very beginning a couple important things. We teach them, if you're the first server, and you're on the right, you're what we call the even server, meaning your score will always be even when you're on the right and you're serving. We look at the other person, we just go, you're odd. But it's harder to remember all that stuff. One person can remember. One person can remember, I started the game serving, I'm even. We don't need everybody to remember everything else from there.
True.
Okay. So we get them playing, and then about 7 or 8 points in, they'll be like, hey, what do we play to? And I'll say, you play to 11, win by 2. And then we keep them going until they get to 11, win by 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then we teach them the last rule of pickleball.
There's no sorry in pickleball?
No.
What's the last rule?
Happens when the game's over.
You come to the net.
You come to the net and everyone yeah. says hi, taps, paddles, clicks their heels 3 times, says one more game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, we have time for one more game.
We teach them the paddle tap at the end of the game. And you know, some places you tap the butt end of your hand of your handle on your paddle instead of your paddle face. Some places you give knuckles. Whatever. I don't care.
But you always end with sportsmanship.
Yeah. This game was designed to be a good sportsmanship game.
Love it.
They've played a game.
And they're so excited.
Yeah, and usually someone of the four figures out the scoring pretty early, and I let them help because it just solidifies it with them, and that's one less person I have to help figure out the score.
True.
And as they get it figured out, they'll be like, honey, here's how we do it. But there's a guy or gal saying it to the other person. It's often a spouse that we're teaching, you know, or a married couple we're teaching.
Yep.
And one spouse will get it and the other one won't. Like, the husband will be looking at the wife like, what? She's like, it's 3-2-1, let's go. And he'll be like, I don't know what the score is. And she's like, it's 3-2, and you're the first server, let's go. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch.
That's our process for teaching pickleball. But I said we're a stickler on the rules, and so I want to kind of give some more insight into that before we wrap up today.
Yes, please.
When they start the game at 0-0-2, if that server misses the serve, everyone's like, oh, try again. And I'm like, no.
Yep.
You did not make your serve, and the rules say you don't get a second serve. Give the ball to the other team. If they step over the line while they're serving, I call it. I don't care if they've been playing for 7 minutes. If they step over the kitchen line, I go, fault. Like, I just step in, fault, loud as I can. I want them to know. Almost like, trying to scare them. And they learn.
They do learn.
They learn.
Yes.
This whole not knowing the score and babying somebody for 4 years on what the heck the score is, or.
Uh-huh. Are you speaking from experience, sir?
I'm not looking straight at you, am I?
Now, let me just say, some people are just recreational. They don't even care if they're.
It's a problem.
There's people like that out there.
There are. And you know what's interesting? They can all keep score when they are focused on it.
That's true.
But they're like, la, 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 la.
My friend's here.
It's my turn to serve. What's the score? Or they stand on the kitchen line and they spin around in a circle like looking for people who have their hands up to, and no one has their hand up. And they still don't realize that means it must be their serve.
He's winking at me.
She's cute.
I usually know when it's my serve.
I have seen you throw the ball back to the other team multiple times and they have to throw it right back at you.
I always know the serve is mine. I always said that.
When you pay attention, you
know when the serve is mine.
When you pay attention, you seem to know.
Yeah, that's usually when I want to win.
Yeah.
If I'm not paying attention, I don't care.
So, again, stickler on the rules, whether it's, you know, non-volley zone errors or faults or...
So funny that you focus on the rules.
Yeah.
Because you're like the maverick of the family.
I
except for pickleball.
I'm not
going to
comment on this one. I only break rules that should be broken.
Which is most of them.
Doing dumb rules.
Oh, dear.
I only break dumb rules. Well, no, you know, I respect very much the game.
There you go.
I've always been a rule follower in games.
That is true.
Yeah. All right. So do you have any questions?
I don't think so, because I have experienced this process with you, not just as a student, but also as a fellow instructor. And I'm fortunate enough that I get to instruct soon. So I'm pretty fun. It's pretty fun to have a refresher.
Yeah.
And I'm all set for tomorrow.
I've had some great instructors with me in the past. Paul McKinney and Joe Drown were just fantastic. And I say were. Paul has been pretty busy, and I've had him around for probably 3 or 4 years of the newbie stuff. Joe has been a great help, steps in when he can, but he also lives in Florida half the year. So, you know, True. He's not always here either. Do you have anyone helping you tomorrow?
Nope.
Yeah, it'll be too late for people to take advantage of tomorrow by listening to this podcast, because this will come out a few days after your beginner class.
Yep.
But we were sitting at home and said, hey, you got a beginner class tomorrow. Let's just go through this one more time together. We've been committing to do this podcast at some point in time.
We have. We even mentioned it last week.
Yeah, I might have bored the heck out of some of our listeners, but that's okay. If you got this far, thank you. That means that you need to tell your friends that we're ahead of the game, and so are you.